guys, welcome back to the Aftermarket Audio Podcast, where stock ends and real sound begins. I'm your host, Reef, also known as the AAP on all platforms, and today we'll be diving into the top three beginning mistakes you will make when upgrading their car audio sound systems, plus an extra bonus tip at the end for y'all. If you guys are just getting started or have struggled to get your system sounding right, this episode is packed with practical advice to help you avoid common pitfalls and build a setup you can be proud of. So let's dive into the most common traps beginners fall into when they start building their first car audio system. First one being thinking more power automatically means better sound. So there is an obsession with power, and this begins when people first get into the aftermarket audio. One of the things they look at, or one of the only things they might look at, is wattage. How many watts can the sub handle? How many watts can the amp put out? The assumption normally is more watts equals a louder system equals a better system. But this is actually a flawed way to think about it. You can have all the watts in the world, but if your system isn't properly tuned or balanced, it won't sound as good as even thought. So let's break it down, kind of understand it. RMS versus peak wattage. Clearly the confusion many beginners see is two wattage numbers on both speakers and amps. So what's the difference? There's peak power, which is the highest amount of power that the device can briefly handle. And there is RMS power, which is the average continuous power the device can handle. You should always build your system around the RMS rating of your equipment. An example of this would be a subwoofer that says 1200 watts peak / 600 watts RMS. This should be paired with an amp that can give 600 watts RMS at the right impedance, or ohms, and not 1200 watts. The reason for this is running way over the RMS can cause excessive heat, cone damage, blown voice coils, clipping distortion, and even could be a fire hazard in your vehicle. So let's understand a little bit more about this. Matching components correctly. Let's say you have a 600 watt RMS sub at 2 ohms. What should you pair it with? Correct answer is an amplifier that puts out 600 watts RMS at 2 ohms, not 1,000 watt at 1 ohm, and not 300 watts at 4 ohms. Impedance matching matters way more than it possibly think. Amp power ratings. Check based on the load. Always check how many ohms your sub presets based on your wiring. Make sure what power the amp delivers at that ohm load. Don't assume the two high numbers always mean that they match. Also, never trust max rating alone. Some budget brands will inflate their peak ratings to look competitive. Stick with verified RMS specs and reputable review sites. You can also look up bench tests on YouTube if you want to do some more research into a particular amp or sub to see how they perform. Point four, speaker sensitivity and system efficiency. Here's something that is often overlooked, sensitivity. A speaker with sensitivity of 90 decibels will sound louder than one with 85 decibels at the exact same power input. And this can make a noticeable and big difference. So sometimes a 50 watt amp driving a high sensitivity speaker will sound better than a 100 watt amp driving a low sensitivity one. This is why it is not only about raw power, but also about matching components and maximizing efficiency. Point five, the dangers of overpowering. Let's say you throw a 1500 watt amp at a 600 watt RMS sub thinking, I just won't turn it all the way up. Let's talk about why that's a little bit risky. Amps do not deliver a linear power output. Most of the distortion and clipping happens near max volume. Accidental volume spikes or bass boosts can instantly damage your gear. If you're consistently tempted to push the limits too far and often go too far, if you overpower, use a digital oscilloscope or clip detector to safely set gains, but it's simply better to match RMS ratings. Tuning is a lot better than just power. An example of this would be a properly tuned 500 watt system can sound amazing compared to a badly tuned 1500 watt system. Now, some of you might be unfamiliar to what tuning consists of, so here's the basics. Setting gain levels properly, setting your crossovers, your high pass, your low pass, time alignment, and your equalizer adjustments. This is where balance comes in. You want bass, mids, and highs to work in harmony. That's what makes a system good and not just raw wattage. Tuning can be managed with a DSP. We talked about in the previous episode. And final wrapping up thought for point one, power is important, but only when matched and used properly. System balance is what makes your sound clean and impactful.
All right, let's dive right into beginner mistake number two. This is the silent killer of a great sounding system. This is a weak electrical foundation. So why your electrical system matters in car audio? This is because a lot of car audio is power. And even moderate systems can demand a lot more power than your car wants to give. So what does this mean for your car? What happens? What should you be looking for? You're going to notice things like voltage drops, amp clipping, sub distortions, and lights dimming. The worst part is most beginners don't realize that the electrical is a problem, and they might think that their amp, wiring, or subs are weak. So as I mentioned before, let's look into a little bit more about these symptoms and flags. So you might notice your headlights dimming or your dash lights dimming on every big bass hit, your amp going into protect mode, you notice distortion at higher volume, and you'll notice voltage drops below 12 volts. You'll also notice battery issues when parked. If you've seen or noticed any of these things, this means that your system is asking for more juice than it's getting. So how do we combat these? How we combat these is with the big three upgrade. You might have heard me mention this before. So before you go buying, you know, $500, $600, $700 high output alternators or second batteries, capacitors for your systems, I would recommend the big three. So what is the big three? This involves three big heavy gauge wires. One from the battery to the ground to the chassis, the second one from the engine block to the chassis, and the third one from the alternator to the battery positive. I would recommend using at least zero gauge OFC wire for the best results. This alone can dramatically stabilize your voltage and reduce resistance. A solid ground is just as important, if not more important, than a solid power feed line. So let's understand a little bit more about alternators and how they power your systems. So alternator load and amperage. Your alternator is the heart of your electrical system while the engine is running. A stock alternator usually puts out between 80 and 130 amps. But your vehicle already uses a big chunk of that to run things like your light, fuel pump, ECU, blower fans, AC compressors. Now imagine adding an amp that pulls up to 60 amps continuously. You're over budget, your voltage tanks, and your sound quality suffers. For anything over 1,000 watts RMS, you should be planning on getting a high output alternator. This would be 200 amps plus. Many great brands sell them. So now that you have a bigger amp, now that you've done the big three, let's start looking at second batteries, because sometimes your stock battery just isn't enough to keep up. There are great batteries such as AMG batteries and isolated second batteries if you wanted to add a second battery into your system. Most times people place them in the trunk. So here's what you need to know. I would use the same type of battery as your primary. This could be an AMG or lithium battery. I would always recommend using an isolator or relay to protect the starter battery. Always use fuses on both the power wires and between the batteries. And always make sure your alternator can charge both batteries effectively. If not, could get stranded on the side of the road. Second batteries help provide backup reserve power, but do not solve the voltage drop alone. They are support, not a replace, for a strong alternator. So you might have heard me mention capacitors. So are they helpful or are they hype? Let's go through it. Capacitors get a lot of slack in the car audio world. Are they useless? Not entirely. They can help smooth out quick dips in voltage and reduce headlight dimming, but only briefly. If your voltage drops below 12 volts under load, you don't need a capacitor if you upgrade your electrical. Capacitors are like band-aids, helpful in small systems, but they are not to fix poor infrastructure. So let's go over some tools that you can use to help monitor and understand the electrical systems in your vehicle. Some things recommended would be voltmeters. These can be dash mounted. You can tap them into your wires. I've also seen a lot that are my favorite. You plug them right into the cigarette port and it'll tell you voltage in live time. You could use things such as clamp meters to measure amp draw to understand what was putting out what's pulling what, let you know. I would also recommend fused distribution blocks if you're going to run a lot of wires all within the same area. The optimal voltage you would like to be looking for is between 13.5 volts and 14.8 for proper performance. All right, let's get into the third big mistake I see with a lot of beginners. This is poor installation practice. So why installation quality matters? You can have the best subwoofers, the cleanest amps, the most precise DSP tuning in the world, and still have a terrible, if not even dangerous, sound system if your work is sloppy. Installation is the foundation everything rests on. When done wrong, it creates noise, distortion, failure, and even fire risk. One of the biggest mistakes I see is grounding mistakes. This is the silent sabotage. Improper grounds are one of the biggest causes of alternator whines, voltage drop, poor amps, and random system shutdowns. So here's a couple tips to keep you away from that. Always mount your ground to clean, bare metal. This means taking a wire brush. This means sanding it down. This means finding a nice spot. Always ensure that whatever you put it in is nice and tight with your bolt and nut. always use proper wiring, if not even bigger wiring than is recommended. A goal would also be to keep your ground wire under 18 inches long for the safety of your system. In my experience and what I've seen, bad grounds are responsible for about 80% of preventable issues in beginner builds. Another thing I see is RCA and signal routing errors. Another common error is how signal wires are routed. If you run your RCA cables or your signal wires alongside your main power wires coming from the battery, then the power can jump and this causes severe issues. Also, crossing them at sharp angles is okay if you need to. I've also noticed loose or low quality RCA connections. This will mean that you'll have signal loss and a good amount of engine noise. So, how do you do your RCA cables correctly? You should use a twisted pair of shielded RCA cables, run them down the opposite side of the car from your power lines, and ensure to use proper mounting clips or zip ties to reduce vibration and signal jitter. So, let's talk about crimping versus soldering. I see a lot of beginners use cheap crimping connectors, no heat shrink, and loose connections. Poor connection can cause system shutoffs, overheating wires, and even start fires. If you're going to do this properly, I'd recommend tinned copper terminals, crimping and soldering when all possible, and try and use heat shrink over every joint. Solid connection means safe, clean power delivered. All right, here's another really important one when you're running your wires. Fusing. Do not skip it. Every power wire must be fused close to the battery, period. A shorted, unfused power wire equals a full battery discharge and even possible vehicle fires. Always use ANLs or mini ANL fuse holders. Fuse rated should be rated 20% above the expected amp draw. Be sure to use secure weather-resistant housing as well as distribution blocks for multi-amp setups. Also, when running multiple batteries, ensure that you're running fuses at both ends. All right, let's talk about mounting and protection of avoiding loose components and unsecured amps or boxes. So if you do not have your amp or box secured, this can shift or short or even break under regular everyday A to B driving. So be sure to mount everything on a solid, flat surface, screws, brackets, or custom enclosures. Make sure you stay away from any water intrusion points, drain lines, or any potential leaking areas. Be sure to zip tie cable bundles, label your power wire and signal wires, and plan your wiring runs ahead. All right, here's a little bonus tip I was saving for y'all in the end. So a beginner mistake that I see very often is people running in and they go buy a separate amp, separate sub, separate box, a separate wiring kit. They buy all these things separate and they put it together and all of a sudden something isn't matching up. They don't have the right terminals. The wires are too short. The wiring gauge isn't right. The subwoofer mounting depth is wrong. There's all sorts of beginner mistakes that can happen super easily. A recommendation for me is to go buy a pre-made and pre-assembled subwoofer and or audio kit. This will come with everything you need. It'll come with all the terminals that are meant for your wiring gauge. The wiring gauges will match the sub will match the amp is going to match your wiring gauge. It comes in one tested and completed kit. The amazing budget brands that offer these would be Sky Audio, CT Sounds offer them. I've seen even Kicker Kits. Or you can talk to professionals or look up forums online to know exactly tested and ensured that fit together. So why should you even bother getting one of these pre-made kits? Because they're all plug and play. There's instructions that come with them. You have all your mounting hardware. You have all your wiring ready to go. You're going to get balanced power. You don't have to worry about underpowering, overpowering. There are even options for these. Options if you want an 8 sub, full kit right there. 10 sub, full kit. 12, 15. Whatever you're looking for, there's even duals. You can find triples. Whatever you're looking for, there is a kit out there for you today. Thanks for sticking around through episode 3 of the Aftermarket Audio Podcast. Let's quickly do a recap of all the top beginner mistakes we covered today. Mistake 1 is underestimating power requirements. Choosing gear without matching power needs leads to weak, distorted sound or blown equipment. Always check your RMS ratings and match your subs, amps, and wirings accordingly. Mistake 2 is neglecting your electrical system. Your car's electrical system is the backbone of your audio setup. Without upgrades like the big 3, proper grounding, and possible high output alternators, you'll get dimming light, voltage drops, and poor performance. Mistake 3 is poor installation practices. Sloppy wirings, bad grounds, skipping fuses, and ignoring any kind of sound deadening that can kill your system's potential and even cause damage or safety risks. Always prep your install with care, proper tools, and quality materials. And of course, the bonus tip at the end, if you're new to the game, consider pre-match subwoofer, amplifier, and wiring kits from a trusted brands. They offer simple, reliable solutions to get a solid bass without the headache of a complex setup. That's a wrap for episode 3. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, share with your fellow car audio enthusiasts. And remember, a great sound system starts with smart choices and a solid foundation. Thanks for listening to the Aftermarket Audio Podcast, where Stock Ends and Real Sound Begins. Catch you next time.